Greetings and salutations, our friends. How you doing? It's Two Legs, and we're back. It's the live edition of Two Legs. Tom Hunyadi here, and I got my buddy Andy Nichols with me as always. Andy, what is going on?
Technical difficulties are not an issue tonight.
Yay!
God, because they were yesterday, and it was not pleasant to deal with when we were getting ready to just go.
Yeah, and exactly.
Crapped out,
but yeah, literally 1 minute before we were supposed to go live, it just totally a dud was laid, and couldn't get around it.
no, like literally, like right, put like at 8:58 or something.
Yeah,
that was not fun to deal with. But so we had our first postponement of our ranking the track. Usually, we've always been pretty much Wednesday night, and
we
push it off a night. But we're back and we're live to do the 10th installment of this fun series.
Can you believe that 10? Okay, so it is it's all the non-album A sides and B sides, the singles that weren't on albums, and we're going to be ranking those tonight. That's a lot of songs. It's 22 tracks that we're going to be ranking. Now we're not going to be doing the Country Hams. We're not going to be doing Susie and the Red Stripes, you know, so we're just going to stick with McCartney and Wings, or just Wings, and we're just going to just keep it simple, that already enough tracks to talk about. So I know a couple people asked if we were going to be ranking Seaside Woman and
nope.
But no tracks like that. But
71 through 79 and Paul and Wings, and that's it. No Percy right. Thrills Thrillington or
right. No thrill. No Thrillington. But before we do that, I'm gonna give a couple shout outs to some friends. I want to shout out to our friend Paul Saley, who I've showed this a little earlier. He is now doing these wonderful vinyl bowls. Now he's got a Facebook page called Paul's Bowls of Records, so that's on Facebook now, so you can check that out. And that's Paul's Bowl of Records. And he also has the Little Wing, the Jimmy McCullough story. So he'll be on soon to talk about that book that's going to be coming out soon. So check that out. Again, here's the bowl that he does himself, and I love it. It's great. So check that out.
We got some comments already here.
Cool.
Owen says hello, Tom and Andy.
Hey.
Hudson says hi, guys. Oliver says hi. Why not Wednesday? Sorry, he's going to bed. Oh, sorry, Oliver. But you can watch this anytime you want. Whatever. after tonight. It'll be up. But we had tech
sorry
issues.
About that. Yep.
Sorry. Hi, Susan. Good evening to you,
Susan.
Macafilm 66. No McGear. No. We're not going to cover McGear.
No McGear. No holidays. It's we'll do something special like that and. Maybe after all this stuff,
Jacob, we'll figure asks, something do out. Do you guys that. Think Cage should have been a single? I should have been on the album. I don't know if it would have been a single.
Should have been on the album. If we're going to talk on release tracks, I would say Watersprout would have been or Waterspout. Sorry, I think would have been would have made a nice single.
Yeah.
Myself. So.
Yeah. Let's just say Henry left because of Mary Had a Little Lamb. Not true. Not true.
No, not true.
He didn't love it, but he didn't leave because of it.
No, he was there for another year or so after.
Henry? Yeah, of course. Yeah, he was there.
He was there
for another year and change. Thank you. Oh, Tom Brennan says, thanks. Nice shirt. And I said, thank you very much, Tom, my fellow Prager.
What's up, Tom?
I can't wait to see where you all rank Sally G, says Kevin.
Well, I'll tell you what, some of these B-sides that we'll be ranking with the A-sides, I'll tell you, some of these B-sides are just as strong as any A-side that he's been.
Absolutely. And I have a feeling our lists are going to be very different, but that's good.
That'd be good. I'm fine with that, So funny story, when we're talking with Joe Mayo this past Monday for another episode, and we're talking about how I'm still waiting on that cassette from You Discover.
Right.
I'm sorry, Music Vaults. I haven't gotten an email or anything like that. So
right.
So what happens is the next day I check the mail and guess what's in the mail? So finally, after a month, I finally receive the McCartney cassette.
Oh, you got it.
From Music Vault. So a lesson learned there. I probably won't be ordering anything from them.
I wouldn't either. Hudson asks, is A Woman or Why going to be on this list? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oliver says, yeah, but he was annoyed by the song. Just watch the music video. Well, which music video, Oliver? There's four of them for Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Oh, that's fine. That's pretty funny. Five if you count the James Paul McCartney special.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Five if you include that one.
No.
Will you do a B-side to C-side 2000s? Do like all the B-sides from the last 20 years?
We'll definitely do B-sides for the 80s. For sure, there's plenty there. There's a good chance we'll do B-sides for the 90s. You know, if there's enough there, let's say if there's like at least 10 or more tracks per decade, we'll probably do that for sure. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I wonder where Mary How Little Lamb will be. Let's ask Owen. You'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. I mean, where is it for you, Owen?
We'll see. Yeah. What's up, Andy and Tom? Hello, Adam. Good evening.
Adam, how you doing?
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
So who starts?
I start off. So, you know, McCartney, man, throughout the 70s, you know, just gave us so many great singles. You know, some on albums, some not on albums. So he really was the one, even though John started off releasing singles, you know, before albums, you know, he gave us three right off the bat that weren't on albums. And he also gave us, you know, Power to the People and, you know, and Happy Christmas, Xmas, yeah, or whatever. But Paul was the one that really took advantage of, you know, the whole releasing singles that weren't on albums.
Following the mold,
yeah,
following the
mold of the Beatles, absolutely.
Of the Beatles. Yeah.
Giving us non-album B-sides as well, which was another treat. So we're going to
Oliver, will the mess be included? Yeah, we're doing the episode is non-album tracks from 71 to 79. So if it was on a single,
yep,
A or a B-side, and it wasn't on an album, that's what we're, throughout that period, those are the songs we're talking about tonight. And if you go to our Facebook page, Tom posted a week ago, all the 22 tracks that we're going to be talking about tonight.
Yep.
So these are songs that were not on albums. They could have been singles, A or B, but they were not on albums between 71 and 79.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to start off this week.
Yep.
And
Yeah.
So 22. Okay. For me, this is might be the worst thing McCartney has his name on throughout his entire career that has been released officially, that has had an official release. This might be my least favorite thing he's ever put out officially.
Drum roll,
and that
please.
And that is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reggae. Is terribly bad. And I think the fiddling just makes it worse.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yes. So that's where I've got that.
Well, that's easily my number 22 as well. And that might be the only song we agree on. But it's my number 22 as well.
Yeah.
Horrible. Horrible, horrible song.
I mean, it lends itself.
Yeah.
It lent itself A-side perfectly to Wonderful Christmas Time, you know, because it's just, you know, it's a Christmas song, you know, so instead of him having to do another Christmas style song for that single, I guess, you know, you dig this up from 1975 and you put it on the B-side.
I almost wish you could have done like an instrumental version of Wonderful Christmas Time on the B-side.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he did that before, right?
Right. So, come on.
I'm sure we'll get to that real soon.
Maybe we will.
Anyways. Okay, so 21 for me is, again, it's another instrumental that it's just I've never been into, and that's Zoo Gang. You know, it's not very interesting to my ears. This was for a TV show, correct, Andy?
I think it was
a theme for a TV show.
Certainly.
And totally shocked that he would put this as a B-side for Band on the Run. With all the other stuff that he's had and that was unreleased at that point in time, why Zoo Gang for a B-side just is baffles me, you know, but that's my 21.
It's also my 21 as well. Zoo Gang. The only thing I like about it is the Moog synthesizer throughout the whole thing. Other than that, that's about it. And as we go throughout our list, it's just going to be a case of what do we like better than others. And it's okay. Actually, I never skip it, but when you talk about the quality of songs here on this list, those are songs that maybe on their own, it's okay, but you have to rank them somewhere. And the other tracks are just infinitely better, as we'll see. So a lot of people agree Zoo Gang is 21 is high. Zoo Gang is also high for a lot of people as well.
Right. My phone's blowing up with these. Have you seen these Bernie Sanders memes that he's, you know, sitting in the chair and they're putting them. My phone is just blowing up with them. He's got a picture of them on the rooftop during the concert, doing the Get Back songs. Then I got another picture of him next to Ringo on the Yesterday and Today with the Butcher cover. There's another one of him sitting down next to John on Sgt. Pepper. I think the best one so far is the All Things Must Pass one, where he's, you know, sitting there in place of George. it was funny stuff. Thanks, Don, for sending me that. But anyways, so back to the list. 21.
20 for you.
Is it? Yeah, I'm sorry. 20. Thank you. Give Ireland back to the Irish version. You know, and there's a lot of his instrumentals that I really enjoy. I mean, these three, unfortunately, I think are some of the worst ones that he's done. I don't like how it sounds. I definitely like the Give Ireland Back to the Irish just fine. What they did for this instrumental, it's just, again, I think kind of bland.
Yep. Number 20 for me as well is this song.
So we're starting off the same.
we're starting off the same, but we're not gonna finish the same. But the B side, you know, well, yeah, it just sounds a little bit too busy. All that, you know, it's like it just kind of just goes nowhere. And the fact that it's just called Version, which is stupid. Yeah,
exactly.
So, So Tom and I are in sync here for 22 through 20. So you're
okay.
Up.
So 19. We're getting to the part where the songs now that I like, not crazy about or love, but I like these tracks. Okay.
Okay.
First one is I Lie Around. Okay. That's my number 19.
Wow, such a big Denny fan as you has a song that ranked that low.
Yeah, no, I'm a Denny fan. I mean, but again, this I just. I don't really connect to the, I love musically. I like the song, the lyrically, I just really don't connect to it. It's fine. You know, Paul sings the last verse.
Right.
So it's not really a completely a Denny song, but on lead vocals, but good harmonies on it. I like the, you know, that part. Yeah, I mean, fine. But again, you know, I tend to like the rest of the songs better.
Crushing, you know, crushing piano. Okay, so you had that at 19.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 19 for me. This might be higher on Tom's list. I have a feeling it might be Hell on Wheels, from the U.S. version of Band on the Run. I never liked it on Band on the Run. Feels like it's out of place. Feels like it's too much to be like.
See, you might be on the minority on that one because I know a lot of people wanted us to count, you know, Hell on Wheels on when we ranked Band on the Run.
No, I won that election though.
Yeah, you did.
No, a good standalone song. It tries too hard. Yeah. I love the lyrics in it though.
Mm-hmm.
M6 out of Liverpool, which I've been on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit too busy of a track. Screaming, you know, headline wheels.
The vocal effect on that track too during the verses. I've never really been a big fan of it.
Andy thinks Hell on Wheels is Hell on Wheels. Well, that's because that was his intention. Tom says, wow, he had Hell on Wheels in his top five. Well, they're gonna be very different, folks.
And actually a lot of people, when I posted the tracks on our Facebook page, a lot of people put their track listings. I did notice that Hell on Wheels was high up on a lot of people's lists. So
good for them. Everybody's different. You're up 18.
18. Mary had a little lamb.
Whoa.
Yeah. Again, I like it. I like the rest of the songs better, but again,
the la-las.
Yeah, la la is a lot of la la's, just like the whoa 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 whoas, you know.
Oh man.
You know, the playing's really good. I mean, we've talked about this song, you know, a few times.
We have, because you know, it's melodically, you know, it is something. And as our, we had
the
Adrian
mandolin playing on it. I mean, it's nice. It's just, I think it's, you know, taking this nursery rhyme and putting it into song, you know, just kind of lazy for me. The whole premise of the song is just, you know, whether it's to a rebel against the BBC or whether it's just, you know, for to sing it because of it's for his daughter or, you know, Mary, or whether or not it's because he thought he could sing anything, he can make it a hit, you know, whatever reasoning behind doing this song. I just think it was, you know, a lazy, you know.
Well, this is where we're going to differ again. I have it ranked way higher than that.
Yes, I know you do. I know you're a fan of that song.
Number 18 for me, Sea Moon, which I like. Tom Brennan agrees with here. 18 is his Sea Moon as well.
Okay.
I spend all this time in Montego Bay, so I'm going to become like a Jamaican man and write reggae songs.
Right.
And I probably would have had it higher, but he plays the song. This is like the one wing song that he plays all the freaking damn time on all these live, it's on Back in the U.S. Sound checks.
Yeah, he does it for sound checks a lot. I will admit that. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, come on, of all the other wing songs you could be playing, you're going to play Sea Moon. I mean, finally, he dusted off High, High, High
over
10 years and plays that live now.
Mm.
But Sea Moon. You know, it's not BL7. Yes. Let's. Because that song is.
Right. Don't be a square, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What is that? 18?
18 for me. So 17 for you.
17 for me. We're going to go again. I like it. Country Dreamer.
Interesting. You
know, yeah, no, it's a good track. Always liked this one. You know, I like the country, the down home feel of, you know, the home feeling of this one. You know, I want to, you know, walk with you, you know. Yeah, I just like that stuff. I mean, it just, you know, being together with your love, you know, just hanging out, you know. I like it lyrically. I like the country feel to it as well. You know, the guitar playing, I think, from Henry is really good on this. So yeah.
Oh, no, Tom, like Tom Brennan had Country Dreamer at 17, so pretty
cool.
Very similar to where you have it.
Right.
Yeah, it almost seems like it could have been on like a Ram or the
original. Oh, absolutely.
Or Red Rose Speedway.
Yes.
You know, wildlife, for that matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Has that kind of earthy, you know, indie feel.
Yeah, that early Wings feel to it, definitely.
Yeah. Number 17 is close to Country Dreamer, which isn't too far off, but it's my 17 is Little Woman Love.
Ah, okay, cool. Yeah.
Again, like it. B-side to Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Right.
Good little, I mean, listen, he liked it enough to play it live on the 75 on the on the European gig of the World Tour to open up the World Tour in 75. He had the medley of Little Woman Love and Sea Moon. So,
right.
Two songs that I personally had ranked low, he actually had included in that, you know, when the mega tour began of Wings Over the World. So, you know, and of course he played it live nice on the James Paul McCartney special, doing it there. So,
yes.
Good song. I liked actually the piano work on it, probably the best.
Oh, piano is fantastic. Yes.
You know, but that's about it for me on that track.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Was it 16
for you?
We're going to the holidays. We're going back to Christmas. We're going Wonderful Christmas Time. Listen, I respect
you. Would have had that higher.
I respect the hell out of the song, but it's just so simple. It's just so
What?
You know, the synthesizer work on it is not really inspiring.
Really?
Dun, 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 dun,
that dun, dude. I mean, how can you
listen,
not like that?
It's on my, you know, listen, it's not last on my list. It's made it in the top 20.
Bro. I mean, I know it's in the top 20, but I mean, how could you not like, I mean, you hear those.
I do like it.
Like Christmas time. Come on.
Listen, I do like it, but I like the other songs better.
Come on, man. That's it. You're hooked. We're done.
Listen, I've listened to this song many times every holiday season. Okay.
Bro.
But that's the only time I want to hear it. It's the only time I want
to
hear it.
I could listen to it at 105 degrees in August.
Well, you come to Arizona in the summertime, buddy, and we'll play.
I'll pass.
I'll pass.
I mean, you know,
it'll cool you down.
I guess it will. You know, somewhere in that freaking hot Arizona, dry heat.
Yeah, that's right, buddy.
Man, so that was your 16?
Yeah.
Or yeah.
No, wow. 16. Yeah, so for you.
Yeah, see, that's pretty low for Wonderful Christmas Time. The chord changes are actually really legit.
Hey, listen, I'm not saying bingo, it's a bad song. It's a bad song. All I'm saying is, you know, I don't want to hear it all year long like I want to the rest of these songs. You know, I'm going to listen to this, you know, for 1 month of the year. And for that, I don't think it deserves to be that high.
Okay.
I don't think it deserves to be that high.
Okay. But because we said we're playing the high, they're going to ban it, right?
Yeah.
All right. What number is it for? 16 for me now?
16, I think, yeah.
The aforementioned Country Dreamer, which Tom and I had just one up. He won up higher than me for the similar reasons. Again, we're getting to that point of the list where now they're good songs. We like them.
Yes.
What's ahead of them, we like just way more.
Correct.
But I think like this part, unless it's like really like the last couple songs, which I think we were both in agreement on, like they're just not good. Anything in between here is like good. No. We just, you know.
Any other artist would kill to have the rest of these songs in their catalog.
Right. We're not saying like they're horrible, horrible songs and we never play them. Obviously, we listen to, we've heard Sea Moon, we've heard Country Dreamer hundreds of times. So it's just we like the other stuff where we have them just a little bit more. So Country Dreamer, I've never skipped it. I've always associated it with more of a Red Rose Speedway feel than a Band on the Run feel, because the early pressings of it on CD, it was a bonus track on the first Red Rose Speedway.
Right.
I kind of always associated it more with that, but it really kind of was a Band on the Run, you know, B-side.
Yeah, yeah. So but I think the UK had Country Dreamer, and I think no, US I think had Country Dreamer, and I think the
McCartney 3.
The UK had Zoo Gang for the B-side.
Yeah, Zoo Gang. Yeah, so Country Dreamer on the original River Speedway. It was so as a younger fan, I associated this with this album, but it really was later.
Right.
You know, so that was Country Dreamer was my 16. Okay, number 15.
Okay, again, you mentioned the piano work is the really the reason to love this song. And for me, you know, and his vocals are okay too on this one. But Little Woman Love, I just think is really cool. The whoa, yeah, whoa. I think it's just really fun, you know. But yeah,
his piano
playing is just stellar. You know, he really shines on these piano rockers, if you will. But maybe like a New Orleans style type of song. But I dig this one, and I don't listen to it enough, and I really need to start doing that. But I
dig New Orleans feel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, that's 15 for me.
All right, 15 for me is Sally G.
Oh, wow. Now that is low.
You probably have that way, way higher, which is
a little higher than yours. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, this is where I think our lists are going to start to like go like this now a little bit.
Right.
You know, I like it. I think, wasn't it, would they try to make it a flip side or they tried?
Yeah,
to
they did. No, they didn't try. They did. So it was on the country, charted on the country charts.
It did, right?
Months down the line. Yeah. They flipped it. Yeah.
Yeah. I always enjoyed Sally G. Here, a little fiddle, nice little fiddle going on in here.
Oh, great fiddle. Well, yeah.
You know, done, obviously, and we heard it. We had a great episode when we talked with Danny Illy and told us about this whole episode of Wings in Nashville. So it's a song that you can so picture listening to.
Oh, absolutely.
In that Nashville scene.
Yep.
And it's one of these times where Paul kind of goes into another genre of music that's not his own, but he actually, it comes off well. Not like him doing... We talked about Back to the Egg with him kind of doing Punk, which I didn't really think he did well, but I think this kind of stuff he does well.
Right. Well, he's surrounded by really good
musicians,
you know, country musicians.
Nashville sound, which of course that's who that was. So that's my, Sally G is one of my absolute favorite of his, said Kevin. Yeah, I'm not surprised to see that, but that's my number 15.
Number 14. I like this one a little bit more than you do. You know, reggae is not my thing, but I've always enjoyed Sea Moon. I've always enjoyed the trumpet throughout his. It's still, I mean, his silly lyrics. Listen, his silly lyrics are either hit or miss with me.
Yeah.
I don't mind him being silly, but, you know, sometimes he succeeds, in my opinion. Sometimes he fails. This one is kind of a little bit more of a success. I do kind of dig the L7 thing, in the track. I was kind of disappointed that this one wasn't on Pierre McCartney when that was released.
I tell you what, there's a really, probably the best version of Sea Moon is when, if you've seen the Put It There documentary.
Right.
This version of it is actually pretty good. It's a little bit more low key.
Right.
This one's always been a little better.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more slower, chill.
Right.
You know.
Gotcha. Yeah. I hear you.
That's the one I listen to more than like
the original recording.
Oh my. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got, because even like Wicks and everybody and Hamish. Their backing vocals are great on this version.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. It's quality one. Yeah, it's a good cover. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. That was 14?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. 14 for me is High. The B-side to the aforementioned Sea Moon. Tom's
I mean, I think there's still a debate on whether or not it was a double A side or High was the A side. But because we were talking with this too with Darren DeVivo when he was on, whether or not it was a double A side or not. But I think we learned that it was High was the A side and Sea Moon was the B side.
It was, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, probably earlier. Well, one of the kind of rockier earlier Wings songs for sure.
Mm-hmm.
High gets, you know, I dig, you know, the lyrics of it, body gun, polygon.
Again, silly lyrics, you know, but sometimes they work and sometimes they don't.
It picks up really heavy late, you know, like this.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Which is cool. We're getting towards it's closer to the top 10.
Yeah.
Lyrically, it's a little bit lazy, but great. I mean, phenomenal playing throughout the whole track.
Right.
But I have other stuff ranked a little bit higher, which is probably going to not a lot of people won't agree with, but it's my list.
That's fine. Yeah.
You're up.
Okay. I think we're 13, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. My 13 is Oh Sweet Darling. What a mess we're in.
I thought you would have had that higher.
I think this is the middle of the pack. I think it's really good for this one. I mean, I think it's a really good deep cut that maybe not a lot of people know about, that more people should know about this one. I love the Henry's playing perfect, great stuff. It's a good early Wings rocker that should have got, you know, more play. Should have been on an album proper, like, you know, with if Red Rose was going to be that double album like it was supposed to be.
Denny Sywell he rocks it on this. Tom Brennan said that promo films were made for High and Sea Moon,
right.
Which makes better argument that it was a double A side. That's just kind of why we've always known, and you know, those films existed, and they were never shot. They were not shot well,
and they weren't preserved very well either. No. All you gotta do is just take a look at them on the McCartney years,
and even then, they're still not upgraded very well.
Right,
that was just a straight transfer. They didn't upscale it. They didn't do much.
Yes,
those would be nice if they kind of 4K them up.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
Like he's been doing.
Those money in the restoration on that one. Absolutely.
Those two films alone, and the My Love one, really,
and Helen Wheels as well is another one that needs, you know, some work.
Yeah, agreed on that. But The mess is a very, that's a good take on the mess, Tom, because it's it's one that definitely more people should be aware of, because it's such a great example of what, of Wings, that early Wings, how they can really lock out, right? You know?
Yep. Absolutely.
Kevin asked, what was the mess a B-side of? My Love, Kevin.
My Love.
Yeah. My Love was the A-side and the mess was the B-side. Live at the Hague. And actually, if you listen, if you put the 45 on, you hear him a little speak at the beginning of it talking about how they're going to take a break and stuff, but which has been trimmed off of the archive, the version of the live version of the mess in the box now, that little spoken word is off now.
Gotcha.
So, which is a little, you just notice little nuances, little like snippets, that.
Right.
You know, that come off of it. But so that was your number
13.
Number 13. I want to surprise everyone. I want to play a few seconds of my number 13 and see how many surprises we get from Mr. Tom here.
Wow. That's pretty low there, my friend.
It's low. Number 13 is Another Day.
Wow.
I'm very curious where you have this. We'll find out.
Soon.
first solo single, first solo is officially accredited to him. On that basis, it's great. You know, it's a great song. Early, could have been on Ram.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Linda recorded the same sessions.
Same sessions. Linda shines on it. That's way too low. I figured that, you know, but that's my list. It's my list. So, I love the song. I never skip it. But that's where I have it. 13 for me. Another Day.
Absolutely. Okay. Cool. 12. Okay, Give Ireland Back to the Irish. For me, the very first Wings single. I love the opening riff. I think it's pretty powerful. I think McCartney, for his first attempt to like a political song. Or a movement song or whatever you want to call it, I think this was a really good first attempt at that kind of thing. Great early rocker, which what that band wanted to be. They wanted to be a good rock and roll album, good rock and roll band, and I think that succeeded in there. And then I like the
the bridge.
Yeah, the bridge is really good.
Dreams I like of
the
God lyrics. And Country and all that.
Dreams of God and Country. The lyric where, you know, if he wants to, you know, if there's another person out there like
would you lie down?
Would you lie down? You know, if the roles were reversed, know what I mean? That's what I mean, one of the lines that I like in that too. So, yeah, I enjoy Give Ireland Back to the Irish a lot, you know, absolutely.
And that was you. Where did you have it ranked, Tom?
12.
Okay. Yeah. Number 12. Okay. I'm going to keep playing my little, I'll play a few seconds of the song game.
Yeah.
Here's my 12.
Okay.
At 12, you knew I was going to have it ranked a little bit higher based on where you had it. For me, it's I love the synth work on it. As somebody, I think it was, who mentioned it in the comments? I think it was Kevin, talked about the chord progression on Wonderful Christmas Time. And you can hear that in that song. That's kind of why I have it. That's why I have another song ranked very highly, which I'm going to talk about. I think which about chord progression and modulation for you musicians out there. Paul does modulation on a couple different songs. It happens sometimes. This is one, but the one that I'm talking about, I'll talk about later. Wonderful Christmas Time. For me, it's more memories and a song that I just dig and I could play year round. So as it's on the outskirts of the top 10 for me.
You know, you've seen that article that came out a few years ago where he makes up to $400,000 a year.
He makes the
just on that song for 1 month of the year.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, one song. Tom says, funny that Paul and John had Irish relations in 72. Well, obviously, you know, they were responding to Bloody Sunday.
Bloody Sunday,
in January of 72 in Northern Ireland. And they were both pretty strong about it. John, I think we can all agree, was much more adept at writing the political song. And Paul was kind of tipping his, toe into the water.
Right.
And you can tell that he's not really comfortable with it because it was supposed to be on Wingspan and it was yanked at the last minute. So, but having said that, to Tom's point, he really does a kick-ass job on that song.
Oh, yeah.
Musically.
Great group effort on that one. great group effort.
Musically, even though it's a song, and there's a great YouTube video of it where he's interviewed. They're actually in the house.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Cavendish, and he's got Martha, and he tells the dog to shut up.
Yeah.
And he just says, he goes, on this one time, I thought the British government was more impressive than I ever thought they could be.
Right.
So you could tell he really, really was moved by that to even write a song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Commit to it.
Yep.
Okay. No, that it ranked, you know, I actually have it ranked a little bit higher than you.
Okay, cool. But, I like it. You're so up. 11. The B side to Another Day, Oh Woman, Oh Why. Okay. That's my 11.
11 it's, for you.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I really dig this song. You know, I love
thought
his
you
vocals.
Would, thought you would have had it higher.
Yeah, I could have. I honestly could have. You know, vocally, this song is great. I love the fact that he's shooting a gun in this song. It's just really, you
somebody
know, far
call,
out.
Somebody
you
call know. Phil Spector to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, what? I mean, his vocals are just so raw on this song.
That's why I thought you would have had it a little bit higher.
Yeah, I know. I mean, thinking about it now, you know, but see, that's the thing about these lists. I mean, tomorrow it could be in a completely different order, you know?
Yeah.
So... But let's listen to that, man. It's just, oh, man. Denny on drums is really cool. You know, just like that.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, I should have this song a little higher, to be honest with you.
I could have. When I was doing this, I'm like, oh, this is a song Tom's definitely going to have like in his top five. I really
did. But the next 10, I mean, I just visit these next 10 so much more than this song, but.
You do. You
know,
okay.
Yeah. Next year at this time, you know, if we do this again, I mean, I would probably put Oh Woman, Oh Why in my top 10 for sure.
Okay. All right. So that was your 11.
Yeah.
That was your 11. All right. So my number 11 is the one we Tom already talked about it, and I have it ranked a little bit higher. I Lie Around.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Well, that's one of the reasons. Like, it's so vocally, it's all over the place.
I get it. Yeah.
So you've got like lower vocals, high vocals, Paul doing the screaming again, and then it's Paul and Denny sharing it a little bit on this too.
Yes.
So and it's 5 and 8. It's a little bit long.
Right.
But I think it's there's a lot. There's so much going on in this song. Nice piano playing. You know, to me, this could have been on Red Rose Speedway.
No, it should have been.
You know.
Instead of the medley.
Yeah.
Almost got you.
Why?
Almost got you.
But you hear a lot of that. You hear some more of that Oh Woman, Oh Why, Paul, in this.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I mean, can you imagine him doing that now? No way. Yeah, but I've always liked that's part of the strong for Wings B sides. I think that's probably one of the best Wings B sides ever.
Right.
I love it. So that was my number 11. We're into the top.
Yeah, our buddy Harry Macca Films over here. He just sent me new double A side from Paul McCartney and Wings. Yeah, so high and Sea Moon. Absolutely. You know,
Tom Brennan had I Lie Around as number 11. Tom Brennan and I swear, we're on the same page a lot, but most of the time on our.
You guys are. Yeah.
Must be the Prague connection. I like it.
Yeah.
Susan asked, did he use a starter pistol on that? I don't know. There is a photo in the brand book of him shooting.
Yes, that's right. Where he's shooting the gun. Yes.
Right. He's got the beard, right?
Yeah. Photo, yep. He's got the beard. Yep.
Yeah.
It's there, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear the top 10.
Do you want to read a couple more comments before we get to the top 10, or is there anything to read?
We're caught up. Let's see. Kevin said, "Feels like Wonderful Christmas Time was on orchestral instruments, maybe guitar. It would get more respect because so he's saying because it's synths, it kind of gets pushed to the side a little bit. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes
the synth is an acquired taste too. Sometimes.
Listen, believe me. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, I freak all my friends out with my prog rock taste. They're like, "You like Beatles and McCartney, but you like all that weird Genesis ELP yes stuff." I'm like, "Yes, I do."
Susan said,
"Being female, I've always appreciated Another Day. It's nice that he could emphasize with us." Well, Paul's always been able to do right.
Absolutely.
He always writes that. I mean, look at it. Eleanor Rigby.
We're going to have another
Lady Madonna
coming up soon. We're going to have a B-side coming up soon.
Oh, yes, we are.
You know.
So Paul definitely.
A couple of them.
Yeah. He definitely has a few
right.
that he can sympathize with the, you know. Not the,
yeah.
With,
and back to Brazil on Egypt Station as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So let's hear number 10, brother.
Okay. I mean, I'm going with Helen Wheels for top 10. I know it's a little bit higher than yours.
Yeah.
Again, it's always been a rocker that I.
What do you like about it? What do you like about
this riff right here? That riff. I mean, it's a really good riff, and I
know you and riffs. You get tired of riffs.
I do, but you know what? There's some that just are timeless, you know. And for me, this is like one of the timeless McCartney riffs, you know, in my opinion, you know. And this is when I do like the vocal effect, you know, because it's not his it doesn't sound like his regular singing voice. I mean, he's doing something different with his voice that I really like what he does. And I like the hello. Hey. You know, I like that part too. I mean, I really dig that part. I love the chorus. Bam, right there. With, you know, Linda and Denny coming in afterwards with their Helen, you know, ain't nobody else going to know the way. I love that part. The chorus, I love.
The ending, though, the ending, you know, the say what?
Say bye bye.
Oh, my God. That is
crazy. Hey, listen, not all of it is perfect.
No.
And then, bam. Yeah.
Kevin says he likes the beat of Helen Wheels, just like you.
Yeah.
What Tom said, would have loved to have heard Helen Wheels live.
See, and I think this is some of Paul's best drumming, too, as a drummer, you
agreed.
Know, on this track.
Agreed
you
with
know.
That.
Yeah.
Tom Brennan has Good Night Tonight as his 10.
Ah.
We ain't okay. agreeing, we are not agreeing on
wow,
that.
Wow, yes. We. Very true. Very true.
All right, so Helen Wheels starts your number 10.
Yes.
All right, number 10 for me. Tom's already mentioned it. Give out back
to another great riff. Another good opening riff.
Opens it up with a riff.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of the reasons why Tom said, you know, the verses, the playing,
yeah.
the very, very first Wing single. So
yes.
on that basis alone, I have it high just for even historical purposes. Other than just, it's, you know, it's the only time Paul really dipped his toe into something like this. And for those reasons alone, it deserves to be, for me, in that top 10 of all time, you know, the non-album tracks, when we're ranking all these other songs.
Right.
Because he never did it again. He never did it again.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess you can talk about Big Boys Bickering.
Well, not like this, though.
Gotcha.
Not yet. No, Joe, I guess my comments aren't being seen. No, we can't see him. I haven't seen any comments.
Oh, is Joe here with us?
Yeah, he popped on. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Hey, Joe.
Guess my comments aren't being seen. No, that's the first time I saw you, Joe. So the Ireland is my number 10. Just, yeah.
Okay.
I enjoy it, you know. Live, and again, live, it works it works very well. He's played it, you know.
Yeah.
Those early Wings tours, it was live. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Number nine, you...
Number nine. B-side, another B-side that I think these next three songs. The next three tracks I have are all B-sides. Some of we said this earlier in this show that some of his B-sides are just as good or better than some of his A-sides.
Fact.
You know, I think yes, absolutely. And my number nine is Sally G.
Okay.
Again, just the playing is excellent. I really dig the vocals. There you go. My favorite part of the lyric is, I never thought to ask her what the letter G stood for, but I'm sure it wasn't good. Best line in the whole song, you know. But the fact that they flipped it and it charted on the country charts is
that's impressive.
Testament to the magic of McCartney.
And they flipped it and it charted
on
as a country song.
The fact that, like you said, I mean, he'll dip his toes in another genre. And he'll make it sound like he's been doing it for years, you know.
Right?
And
you
I
hear,
think,
That's when you hear this song.
Yeah. I mean, vocally doesn't sound like he grew up in Texas or Tennessee, but doesn't need to. Lyrically, it's there, I think.
Absolutely. And if I had to reconsider, I might have had it a little bit higher myself. Yeah. Like you would have had that a little higher, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Great track.
Yeah. Yep.
That number 9 for me.
Yeah.
Would be Tom. I forget where you had this. Was a little bit higher. I have the Mess.
Oh, okay.
The Mess. I think. Tom. I know Tom. When we started this, he was in. We talk a lot about The Mess, and he enjoyed it as a track. Why? I thought he would have had it a little bit higher.
Yeah. I should have. Yeah.
To me, again, it's another fine example of Wings just kicking ass.
Yeah.
Tom Brennan says Luca's book tells you what the G stands for. Well, let's take a look.
I forgot to take a look.
No, I'll pull it.
But the fact that he says the letter, you know, I'm sure it doesn't stand for good. Is just, you know.
Well, let's see. I just pulled it. Sally G. Here we go. Let's see. While recording this song, McCartney wanted to keep the atmosphere. He didn't say anything about the G in Sally G. Hold on. Wait a minute. No. Let's see. According to Skull Shulman, the owner of the club, Paul had a few too many that night. Although clearly drunk, McCartney didn't lose his well-known inspiration even that night. In fact, McCartney slipped into the back of the club, found a piano,
and wrote the song there,
calling it Diane, from the name of the country singer Paul had just listened to.
No, yeah, and that's, if that's what Tom means, then yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Luca did mention that, yes.
Okay, cool. Yep. Yeah, but the Mess. I think it's a song that's gotten kind of more notoriety over the last few years, especially in light of the box set coming out. Mm-hmm. I've always, Tom said, The Mess, I think, was the highlight of the early tours, for sure.
When I met you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gonna get you. When I want you,
Yeah, and again, could have been on that double LP.
Absolutely,
Red Rose Speedway. Susan says the line in Sally G cracks me up too, Tom.
Yeah, fun.
Plus, then this song has that cool little break, you know, where it just kind of goes into right.
Yeah, a killer stuff.
Whoa,
love it.
And that's this part. Yeah,
some of Henry's best work with the band right there. I love that.
Yep.
So simple, but perfect for it, you know.
Yep. Yeah. So that's my number 9, and you're up to number 8, sir.
All right. Well, we got another G. We're going with another B-side. We're going Girls' School.
Oh, okay.
As my 8. Again, another really cool rocker that just starts with a great... I love the 3 cheers for the Girls' School. Hip, hip. I love that opening, too. I think that's really cool. Hip, hip. I mean, how cool would this been on London Town? I don't know if it would have fit on London Town.
It wouldn't have fit on London Town.
But I mean, it would have gave it some balls. You know what I mean? It would have gave the album some balls, more so than I've Had Enough.
Oh yeah, wait, this song rocks more than any other rocker on London Town.
Absolutely, yeah. But but you know, we've talked about the song and how, you know, Paul is in Hawaii, you know,
reading adverts,
films, pornographic films. But and you know, got the lyrics from that. But just, you know, great rocker that just doesn't end. You know, I love it.
It's this is a case where I don't really care what the lyrics are. It just sounds good.
Girls,
that's the Wings. That's the Wings. That's Wings.
Exactly.
That's Wings.
Girls' School.
That's the Wings harmony is coming in right there.
Yes.
Which is why, you know, it's coming up for me in a few, but.
Yeah.
So this was your number.
There you go. Cause he writes the women's perspective. So.
Right. And there's a lot of these in this list, right? That's what we're just saying. Susan. Well, Susan, you're getting it right there. Girls' School is a way underrated rocker. I agree.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's just, this song is so friggin' good.
Yeah.
probably one that he would probably distance himself from now as a 78.
Oh, exactly.
Man. Oh, I can't believe I did that.
But how cool if they busted this one out on tour, you know?
It's phenomenal. It's a phenomenal freaking song. Yeah. Where did you have? So you had this at 8?
Yep. 9. Yep.
This was 8 for you. Okay.
Yes.
So, 8 for me, and I'm probably going to turn some heads when I play this, but I don't really care. But this is my number 8.
Wow. That's low.
8 for me is Live and Let Die. And this is the group. This is that the one from the box set, the group only Take 10.
Right, right, right.
This version. Listen, it's in the top 10. So I like it. I didn't have it lower. Right. I had it at number 8.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it's one of the best songs written of ever. Okay.
Yeah.
George Martin produced. You know.
And I think he did the arrangements as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, reggae, the reggae kick that they were on.
Right. Yeah, you know, influenced by Linda, you know.
Yeah, but she actually wrote this part.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, what can you say about it? It's an amazing song live. The pyrotechnics, it's a great song. But I like all the other songs that I have on here. I like better. And people are going to go, you had what ranked above that? But Tom says this was his number 1.
And it's high up there for a lot of people. Absolutely.
Of course, it's an all-time classic. But I like other stuff more, which you'll see. Go ahead.
Number 7. Okay, 7 for me. This is probably it's definitely my favorite B-side of the 70s. Okay, whether or not it's my favorite Paul B-side of all time,
I know which one it is.
You know, but what does she get?
Yeah.
All the love she gives you or gave you. Daytime, Nighttime Suffering is just, I think it's a perfect song. You know, it's a great later day wing song. I think, again, could this have fit on Back to the Egg? Maybe.
It tossed to you off and it would.
Yeah, maybe. No sand, no pail, no, you know, I love the, you know, flow mighty river, you know, flow through me, you know, there's just so much.
What happened, the bass playing on it?
You know, everything about this song is cool. And then the female's perspective too. Exactly. It's just, you know, what does she get? You know, it's a great song. You
it
know?
Is.
And it should be. Yeah. Yeah. And it should be recognized for any woman movement. This is a perfect song for them, you know?
Yeah. Susan says there's just too many top-tier McCartney singles.
Yeah.
Yes.
And too many top-tier B-sides as well. Yeah. What does she get for all the love she gave you?
Look at the bass line, man. Ridiculous. This was the song that they played, and this was the challenge. He said, oh, come up with their own song.
Well, I mean, I don't think Juber really agreed with that. I think
he didn't.
He said that it wasn't really a challenge, you know, so.
Who can compete with this?
No. Yeah. Daytime, Nighttime Suffering is my 7. Yeah.
All right. That was number 7 for you. Yeah, it's all. Okay, so number 7 for me, which Tom had ranked up a little bit higher, which he said he would put up, is Oh Woman, Oh Why. That to me is like all time, you know, again, for the reasons, I mean, the screaming in it, the production on it, the gunshot, the everything in it, all this.
Good stuff.
Oh, listen to that. Drumming, everything on this.
Yeah, it's good stuff. The vocals, some of his best vocals, you know. I love the way he sings this song. Absolutely.
Oh,
love it.
Absolutely. That's my number 7. Tom Brennan says he has 3 B-sides in his top 10. I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I had 4 in my top 10.
I had 4 as well. Yeah.
B-sides.
4 B-sides in my top 10.
There you
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're up, bro.
Okay. What do we got? 6.
6.
Good Night Tonight.
You know, so you put Daytime and Good Night you together.
Yeah, I got them back together. Yeah, I got them together. Okay. Yeah, I really dig this song. Again, you know, wonderful bass line throughout the whole track. You know, Lawrence is playing on this, you know, the acoustic guitar.
Yep.
The only thing I don't like about this song, and maybe some people will like too, is just the sticks.
Oh, you don't like that.
And that's the only part of the song I really don't care for.
No.
Never been a big stick fan. Sticks fan. Not the band Sticks. I like the band Sticks.
Oh, but yeah, they're good.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's okay. It doesn't ruin it for me, but I don't think it, like, enhances the song any more than what, you know.
Do you like the video and, like, with the whole thing all dressed up and all that?
I love the hair slicked back at the beginning, and then they're kind of, like, crazy.
Crazy at the end.
Yeah, kind of like hello, goodbye video, you know.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Singing
on the song is superb, you know. Ooh, I mean, it's great.
Except for that little like robotic voice thing in the middle.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. I kind of dig that, but
I dig it. I just don't know what I don't know what they're saying.
Right.
Ooh. I mean, but man, listen, that last lineup of Wings did. You know, they only made one album and one hell of a single. But damn.
Yeah.
Ugh.
May never. Yeah.
Good phenomenal. Stuff. Yeah, that's the 12-inch one, which is longer.
That's what she said.
Jeez. I think the Good Night Tonight single is unique, really cool track. Absolutely, Kevin. Yeah. So that was that's your number six.
That's my six, yeah.
All right. My number six. Again, get ready to be for people to go, what? But I don't really care. This is my number six. Hold on.
One, two, three, four. Wow. How?
This is my number six. This is a different version, by the way.
Yeah.
This is from the One Hand Clapping. Listen, there's reasons I'm going to defend my top five to the death. Okay? It's a phenomenal song. It's a phenomenal song. I love it. Actually, I like this version better. If I had to guess, this is probably your number one. I'll have to wait and see. I think it probably is. Now that I've heard, I thought you were going to have Good Night Tonight or Daytime Higher. You don't. So I know this is definitely going to be your number one now, probably. This is it. This is Wings in Nashville. The only single, the only Paul McCartney release of 74 on the back end, the success of Man on the Run. So
Man on the Run, right, right.
It was the only real thing you had to really sink your teeth into as if you were a McCartney fan in 74, really.
Right.
So it was this track. I mean, Jimmy McCulloch, the big,
great,
ridiculous. He was like 26.
Six.
And my number five is going to make people go, "What the hell did you have that?" And you had this ahead. I did, but yes.
Okay, fine.
What's a crime is that he only during the heyday of Wings. It was only played on the 75 tour.
Yeah, they didn't bring it over to America.
It did not bring it over to America. It was only played in England and Australia.
It's a shame because it was a top five hit here.
And that's a shame because I'm sure the American audience would have really loved to have heard that. I digress. Go ahead, brother.
All right, top five. Again, another great opening guitar lick to open this track. Hi, is my number five.
Very
again,
cool.
More silly lyrics, you know, body gone or body gun,
polygon,
you know,
whatever. Right. Yeah.
Polygon or body gun, whatever you're hearing, you know, I don't care. It's cool. I love, take off your face, recover from the trip you've been on. You know, I really dig it. I love the word, you know, we're going to get high, you know, going to do you, you know, I love that stuff. I dig all the innuendos.
You dig all that?
I dig all of it. Yeah, absolutely. And when he did this, when I saw him in 2014, you know, it just blew my mind.
To see him do it live. Yeah.
I got to see him do it live. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I don't think he was doing this track before that, before prior to 2014. I got to go back and take a look.
Well, 13, I think I saw. I think he did in 13 when I saw him. But I mean, before that 13, 14 period? Right. No, I don't. Yeah. No, he hadn't touched it since 76. Yeah.
But great stuff. I mean, just a great killer rock song. And he can rock with the best of them, in the 70s. It just,
not according to his critics, who just think he writes crap and soft.
Well, I know, but there's just not enough of that. There just wasn't enough of it. You know what I mean? Of that good hard rock and roll.
But he was never going to do an album of just all rockers. He was never going to do
that. No, he wasn't. I understand that, but you can, pepper some more in here and there,
I guess. Susan said she had Junior's Farm at 10, but that's just because she thinks it got overplayed and she got sick of it.
Hey, fatigue. We've talked about a song with Band on the Run. Absolutely. Absolutely. That does play a factor. It does.
Tom Brennan says he thinks Joe English had trouble playing Junior's Farm as good as Jeff Britton. Maybe that's why it didn't get played a lot. Maybe.
Interesting.
Maybe. Hey, Adam, how you doing? Nice to see you back. Thanks for coming back on here. Yeah. All right. So that was your number.
Number five.
All right. Here is my number five. Okay. People who are watching at home.
Wow.
You knew it was going to be up there.
Yeah, I did.
You knew it.
Right.
La la. And I love the la la's. I do.
I know.
Now, listen, is it simple? Yes. But again, if you watch the other ranking the tracks, you know that I like when he does this kind of stuff. I had you gave me the answer ranked very high.
That's
right. Which I know Susan liked as well. Kevin says, Andy, what are you drinking? Just curious. Sprite and water.
He may have put something extra in that Sprite. I don't know.
And Adrian Allen explains it much better than I did because he's a musician. But Mary Had a Little Lamb has modulation in it throughout it. And the last third of this song, the key changes in this song is revolutionary. Mm. It was not done. It's not done in any other McCartney song. And I don't have Adrian's book handy right now. And watch our episode with Adrian or look it up or even message him. He'll explain it way better than I can.
Right.
But the modulation in this song, especially towards the end of it, that's what kind of catches my ear with this. Because it's just like la, 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 la throughout the whole thing. And then it goes through this other place of crazy key change. Right here, and then it kind of just goes to this other place, that does Christian says he liked it when he came out and he was 10, right here, where it does the land that like this. Right. It's like,
but when you're listening to the lyrics, I think that sometimes covers up that modulation that you're talking about. People really, I don't think, really notice it. Because you're just listening to the lyrics, really. You're not
Again, I don't care. He could be singing about anything. I don't care. It's called Mary Had a Little Lamb. It's the music and the melody is what catches to me on this.
Yeah.
He could be singing Mary Had a Box of Chocolates. I don't care. It's the song and the melody. Right.
No, I get it.
And that's why I have it at five. And I'm sure that's a very, very unpopular opinion. I don't care. It's an earworm. Thank you very much, Christian. It's an earworm. For me, it is. All right, but that's my number five.
All right, number four.
Go ahead, brother.
Okay.
I want to hear it.
Listen, first single, Another Day. This,
for me,
showcased what the rest of the decade was going to be. That Wings sound, especially with Linda, singing backing vocals on this track. Linda's all over, a lot featured heavily on this track. And it just the sound is what I think really gave us a kind of a glimpse of
what was coming.
Exactly. And I love his singing in this song. I love the lyrics on this, slipping in the stockings, stepping in the shoes. I dig that part. The guitar, his acoustic guitar playing, and this is, I think, is really great.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah,
dun,
exactly.
Dun.
Yeah. Oh, stay, don't stand her up,
Yeah.
Linda all over that. Don't stand around. Great stuff. Buddy stays. Yeah, Buddy leaves the next day. I think that's so cool.
We're busting chops here. All these songs are phenomenal. It just becomes a matter of personal preference. It really does. Yeah,
exactly.
For us. I love where you have it ranked. I mean, it's a great song, and I could see why. I understand why you have it there. Again, one of those songs that got few airings live. It was played live in 93 on the
got to see him do it live. Yeah, the Paul's Live tour. Yeah.
You got to
or
see New World. Paul's Live in the New World. Yeah, he got to play it there. And that was, he was
one of the highlights for me.
Yeah, I got to see him do it in 2016 or something like that, in here in New Jersey, and that was great to play that. So it's first number one. No, first number one hit.
No, it wasn't number one.
I'm sorry. It should have
been first single.
First single.
Yes,
right.
First single.
Right.
Yep.
No, great. Let's see. Let's catch up here. Matt Smith, his number one was Another Day. Okay.
Oh, great. Cool.
Yeah. Susan says, with Mary, the modulation of Mary is wonderful. It adds so much to the song. Yeah, that's kind of what I feel. All right. So another,
All right. So four for you.
Four for me. Tom has already kind of talked about it. And I've talked about it. We talked about it on London Town, but it's my number four, Girl School.
Hip hip.
Boom.
Yeah. Great opening riff too.
The riff.
Yeah.
The harmonies, the Wings harmonies. Yeah. And we know that Joe and Jimmy were still with the band, right? Here?
Yes. Yeah. Joe and Jimmy recorded the song. Yes. They were on this track. One of the very first songs they recorded for London Town. Yeah. Girl School. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And it's too bad that it got buried to a B-side because, if more people, the average person, pun intended, heard this song, they would be like, that's Paul McCartney? I'd be like, yeah. It's, And it's just, to me, it's what Wings are, especially when you hear the harmonies right here. It's Wings.
Yes.
Ah. Yeah. So, I mean, I've always enjoyed it. This is why it's my number four.
Hey, I'm fine with that. I am definitely fine with that. I
appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Top three.
Go, brother. Three. All right. Now, I think we might have one the same, but we'll see. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Number three for me is The Mall.
All right. Now we're going to just play. You know, it's my number three, but go ahead.
I really hope that when I get to go to England, that we have enough time to go to the mall and just, see that area of Scotland.
Well, you got to go to Scotland, not England.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we got to go to England first. Okay, so.
I hope our UK friends didn't, forgive that. It's all right.
No.
But he didn't mean it.
Right. I know where it is. I'm just saying, when I go to England to do a Beatles tour, I'm hoping we have time to go to Scotland to do that. I didn't like this song when I first heard it.
Didn't
care for it. No. I remember I had Wings Greatest back in, I think probably 88. And,
That was your introduction?
Yeah, that was my introduction to it. Yeah. The bagpipes, I think, is what did it for me. Didn't like it. Now I love the hell out of this song. Yeah, exactly. The bagpipes, I think, are just wonderful on this song. The harmonies between Paul and Denny, I think, are great. Through the chorus, verses are fine. It's okay, but musically, it's one of my favorites that Paul has done throughout his period.
Yeah,
well deserved worldwide number one. I think it's great.
Held the mark for a good couple.
Yeah, until Band Aid.
Until Band Aid. Well, let's look at it. It was the number one best-selling song in the UK from 1963 to 77 was She Loves You, and then from 77 to 85 was this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a pretty good run, I would say.
To Paul McCartney to have that, 63 to 85.
Best-selling song.
And he's on both of them for, those two, up until 85.
Pretty damn good. And he was actually technically a part of Do They Know It's Christmas too? If you want to split hairs, right? Until really Elton with Candle in the Wind,
right?
For Diana,
yeah, exactly. So,
The Campbelltown Pipe Band. Here they are, yes, piping
exactly
away.
Exactly. And boy, did they get ripped right after they recorded. Yeah,
they busted out the crates of ale, as exactly. Paul said, you know, and it just goes to contrast. Okay, 76, punk becomes a rage in the UK.
Yeah.
And he puts out a Scottish waltz.
The UK really embraced the punk scene, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They really did. Yeah. And so here at the height of that, 77, this song comes out and crushes it.
Yes.
And he puts Girls' School on the B-side.
But here in the States, they flipped it over and they pushed Girls' School, the B-side.
Yeah. But I'm letting it play because it's you and I both had this at number three. So it was nice that we could. It's number three. Great. It's the best line in the song here. Smiles in the sunshine and tears in the rain.
Again, I think his vocals, his singing on this is phenomenal. You know, McCartney is just.
It'll take me back to where my memories remain.
Yes.
Come on. I mean, it almost could have been a Christmas song, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
It has that feel.
In the same way that Once Upon a Long Ago is almost like a Christmas song.
Yes. 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 It has that feel to it. It really does.
Right. Yeah.
Now the criticism of this song might be, well, it just plods along. It's too slow. It's just on and on. Yeah. Whatever.
It might be a little too long.
Maybe.
But you know, not for me.
Hell no. And he only plays it when he's only played it in North America.
UK and Canada.
He's only played it in North America and Canada, and then that's it. We're not going to get it. We're not going to get it here. We're not. A shame.
That's just damn shame. Yeah.
It is. But well deserved on our list, I think, to be number three for Tom and I. So, Tom, I'll go back to you for two because.
Okay, number two.
We both had it at three.
Yeah. You know, the best part, it really says something when a song can enhance a movie, whether the movie is good. Or the movie is bad, where in this case, Live and Let Die is not nowhere near the best Bond movie. But sometimes a song can enhance a film. And I think that's the case for this. Live and Let Die, the song, just really enhances the film Live and Let Die, which again, like I said, it's a mediocre Bond film. Okay. But hearing this song open that movie, you know, throughout the opening credits, you know, it just gets you really excited. And hearing the da da da, you know, hearing the instrumental segments of it throughout the movie makes it makes the movie better, you know, because without the song, I don't think that movie is even considered a good movie at all, because this movie is not really that good, you know. Now, the song itself, you know, exciting, you know,
yep.
You know, again, a great up-tempo song. I don't mind the reggae part, the break. You know, even though I've said before, reggae is not necessarily my
favorite.
But I think it's probably the best reggae stuff that they've done on a record. You know, definitely better than, you know, Sea Moon. You know, in my opinion. So, but this part, the what does it matter to you, you know, when you got a job to
because
do,
it's so,
do it
well. Because it's so quick and it's boom, right back into the song.
Again, it was just so easy for him. It's laid out there, Live and Let Die. You know, it's, you know, he just took that, the title of that, and just ran with it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get to the.
Yeah, I mean, it's got everything in it. It's a phenomenal track.
Yeah. And, you know, and then plus, you know, when you see him do it live, the pyro, you know, it takes it to another level.
Well, he plays that up. He hams that up a little bit now.
Right.
You know, because ever the showman that he is.
Right.
This
is probably one of my favorite. You used to say, you know. I love that breakdown. It just stops and then it just slows down. I think it's brilliant. I think it's brilliant.
Back up again. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And then check out the James Paul McCartney version. That's phenomenal too. When he actually had the dynamite in the piano.
He could have died. Just like with the Who appearance too on the Smothers Brothers show
in 67. Well, Townsend went a little deaf after that.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, he did. I mean, but That's a great clip. The piano explodes and Paul just goes, "Whoa!"
Yeah, I mean, a chunk of wood could have, you know, like pierced his stomach or gut or something.
Yeah, we're
like
talking 1973, so right. You know, they probably weren't too cautious with all that stuff.
Yeah, so that's two for me.
Two for you. All right, very well deserved, and nobody could argue with you with your ranking on that. Absolutely, two for me, and Tom had I think had this ranked sixth or seventh, I think. But this is my number two.
Yeah.
Good Night Tonight.
Yeah, good stuff.
For the bass playing, for all the reasons why Tom had it where he had it, I same reasons. Everything about it. Although I kind of agree, I'm not really into the whole, I don't like these either.
Yeah.
You know? Matt Smith says, "Oh, that was crazy Keith Moon who put the stuff in the Smothers Brothers."
Oh,
Moon
did he?
Did
okay.
That.
Moon did that on his own. Okay.
That's right. That's right. And then you see Townsend walk off there with his hair all frizzed out and he lost his hearing.
That's right.
He did. That's right. I forgot that was Keith who did that. Right.
Right.
But man, my number two, Good Night Tonight. Again, a lot of my rankings have to do with kind of childhood memories and affection and when you first discover a song, which I think a lot of us are the same way. When Tom hears it, he's like, "Oh, I heard him do hi, and he was like, he locked in with it." For me, it's the same thing. My affection for these songs is when I first heard them, and a lot of these songs, my introduction to a lot of this music was All the Best. So, this was on that.
Absolutely,
Let Him In was. Yeah. So that was when I kind of first heard a lot of these junior songs. That's why I heard a lot of these songs. So, and I remember really liking Good Night Tonight a lot. I remember even seeing the video on VH1, you know, back then when they did the McCartney week. So seeing it, I'm like, this is really good. You know, because it wasn't like the hit. It wasn't like Let Him In or Silly Love Songs. It was something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see later on, in the course of the YouTube era, you know, you see these little snippets of him playing it live.
Yeah.
Especially there's a few clips of him playing it live. In Liverpool at the Royal Court Theatre, and it's like unbelievable, except they bring that machine out to do all the parts on it. But it also, to fun fact, in 2012, he played it. I don't know if you've seen this, Tom. He actually played a version of this with some house band in some country somewhere, and it's like a rough version of Good Night Tonight. I'll send it to you.
Right.
It's out there, and he's playing it, and he's actually singing it too.
No kidding. In 2012.
Yes, some 2012, 2013, some event, some club or whatever, and he's playing. It's not like a full band version, but it's like a rough version of it, and he's singing it. I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah,
maybe
cool.
Somebody's seen it, but great production throughout the whole thing. Then the bass work, you know, McCartney's as a bassist is phenomenal. But that's my number two. Let's hear it, bro.
I like it.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, number one. Okay, it's no secret. My number one is my favorite rocker from Paul McCartney. I think it's his best rocker in his entire solo career. You're doing the one hand clapping version, you know.
Yes.
I tend to prefer the
which one do
the,
you go with just the regular
I, oh I go with the regular yeah the whole 5 minute version. I hate that edit when they edit out the third verse. Pisses me off every time they do that. But
so you don't like that being cut out?
No, I do not. No.
So the version on Venus and Mars, that the remaster, that's the full
remaster.
Right?
That's the full version, baby. Absolutely. Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah. Jimmy is masterful on this song. If Britten wasn't a good drummer, this proves them wrong. I think his drumming on this is really good. You know, Paul, I think he can sing a great rock and roll song, and you know, and I think he shines on this one, and you know, I just love it. You know,
the criticisms of this song that I've read over the years the lazy lyrics, you know, like the Houses of Parliament, everybody's talking about
the presidents, you know,
right, which
you know, we all chipped in for a bag of cement. You know,
that's
sitting at the poker stand, you know, I had a money and I bet a grand, you know,
right,
you know, all that stuff. Yeah, like I said earlier, the silliness either works or it doesn't work sometimes. And for me, it works on this one. It can mean whatever you want it to mean. I've heard him say for this stuff, you know, these kinds of songs, it means whatever you want it to mean. You know, and I think this is kind of like his attempt to do that, like, nonsense lyrics like John would do with, like, you know, I dig a pony.
Oh, like radiate, you know, everything you want.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you know. But this, I get a chill whenever I hear this.
Have you seen him do this live yet? Have you been fortunate to see him do this?
Yes. In 2014, he did it live.
So you must have been.
No, last year. And I dropped it. Did you? I dropped, yeah.
you must have lost it, right?
Oh, I did, yeah.
Because it was early in the show, right?
Yeah. But it was the edited version, unfortunately.
Yeah, which stinks. So not the full version. Yeah. Which verse gets cut out? The
third verse. Holly Holly must have had more sense.
That one.
Yeah.
In the end, then you talk about the ending of this song, you know, how it just drags out,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, hold on. The whole Take Me Down, this whole outfit.
Yeah,
oh my God. Yeah. This is really, this
and
this is awesome.
Take me back.
Right. Yeah. The drums.
It's completely different from the rest of the song.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I think is so cool about it. It's like, it's just like a coda kind of, you know, kind of like Find My Way. It's just completely different.
Well, yeah, but it's light years better than that.
Yeah. I'll agree with you there, my friend. Absolutely. Love it. Love it.
A well-deserved ranking, no doubt. And I think you'll find many of our fans and viewers will agree with you.
Yeah.
For Junior's Farm, I mean, how can you go wrong?
Top five hit. You know, this one, I it would have been great. How Live and Let Die wasn't the number one. It ended at number two, you know. But just a damn shame.
A damn shame. Susan says, got to go with Mulligan Tire for her number one. The lyrics and the melody are beautiful in the bass.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know a certain viewer of ours and a relative of mine will agree. We'll love your ranking of Junior's Farm.
Mm-hmm.
He'll love it. He will love it. He will not like what I have for number one, which is coming up in a minute. So I've kind of just lost it. Hold on a minute. If you've been paying a score at home, you know what my number one is.
Right.
Do you know what it is?
I've lost track. So
okay. It's been so many tracks on this one. Right. This is my number one. Here we go.
It's great. It's just great.
Yeah.
Great.
And
I have no problem with this being a number one. It's such a great B-side. I had no problem with this being a number one.
Keys, bass. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's got like the whole vocal workout too with the doo doo and doo 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 towards the end, you know? This. It's like pentatonics for pentatonics. Yeah. I mean, and he was still smoking here too, you can tell.
Oh.
He had that raspiness.
Right.
I mean, and
I love the, you know, no sand, no pail.
Right.
Yeah, I dig all of that stuff.
Right. I love the
fairy
ending,
tales,
though.
Yeah.
The ending is so good. It just glides right off. There's the wings harmony again, closing out. I'm telling you, that is why I love that. Daytime, Nighttime Suffering is my number one.
Love it. Love it.
I'm glad that my co-host likes my choice. Susan says, good choice, Andy. Thank you, Susan. Thank you.
Good stuff.
We have a clarification. Somebody helped me out here with that live version. Goodnight Tonight was played in 2012 with the African Express in Paris. That's the video.
Oh, there
I
you
saw.
Go. Very
and I'm
cool.
telling you, I'll send it to you. It's good.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
Yeah, for my number one and two were those AM. Tom, it's funny. Tom and I had Good Night Tonight. And
back to back.
Back to back. He had them a little higher. Yeah. I had them one and two.
Right.
But we both did have them
sequenced
together.
Yes. So, I think it's just one of the best A-side, B-sides that he's ever done.
Hands down.
You know.
You know, and listen, if nobody's ever heard Daytime, Nighttime Suffering, you know, please go check it out.
Right.
you know, it's, listen, the amount of stuff that he's put out in that, this period of time, is just ridiculously high quality of stuff. The B-sides. I mean, we had, you and I had four B-sides ranked in the top 10.
Yeah. You know what? The B-sides alone, other musicians would have died to have those in their catalog. Absolutely.
You tell me an up-and-coming man wouldn't have taken Girls' School, you know, and made that
absolutely. Debut rocker.
You know, absolutely. or the mess.
Yes. Yeah.
Or high as a debut. Yeah. Come on. These are, you know, and these are songs we had ranked a little bit lower. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, this was a fun one, man.
Yeah. No, this was
a little
good.
Longer.
A little longer. Well, you know, the 80s one is like, I think 20 tracks as well, you know, for non-album A sides and B sides.
Are we going to include The Doggone Girl Is Mine?
No. Because that was not on. That was on a record.
I know. Yes.
But you know what? It wasn't on a Paul McCartney record.
That's what I'm saying.
It wasn't on a Paul McCartney record. I'm going to have to rethink
That's
this.
That's what I'm saying, man.
All right. We'll make it a poll question when we get close. When we get to that bridge, we'll ask that question.
Tom Liverani said, thanks, Andy and Tom, for a great show again.
Thank you for being here, buddy.
Thank you, Tom. Really appreciate you hanging in tonight for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But hey, we are done with the 70s now.
Done with the 70s now. Now next week we get to McCartney too. And we're gonna have a special guest with us. So we'll announce that later on. But yeah, we're gonna have a special guest. And I think it'll be a fun show. McCartney 2 is just you know, I would think that if you were a diehard McCartney fan in the 70s, all throughout the 70s, and you got McCartney 2, you're almost had a WTF moment, you know, when you're listening to it. I'm sure people love the coming up song. You know, they think that, you know, that's great, but the rest of the album.
Studio or the live version?
Well, the studio, either or.
Well, we know John Lennon liked the studio.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But before we take off, I do want to show, I know there's a lot of Dylan fans out there, so I just want to take time and let everybody know that this that Rolling Thunder review that was on Netflix last year, that's now on Criterion Collection.
Excellent.
So that was a really cool documentary directed by Martin Scorsese. So that's out now, so don't forget to check that out. But that's not it with Criterion. Criterion loves Dylan. Because
yes,
then
they
also got the festival documentary from 63 to 66. This was part of the
Newport.
Newport folk music scene right here. So Dylan also is in there. And they also have the Don't Look Back.
Don't Look Back from 65, the Tour of England.
Right,
yes.
Exactly. So that's on Criterion Blu-ray as well. Mm-hmm. So for you Dylan fans out there, Criterion has you covered. So
you could watch Newport and go watch Pete Seeger run back and unplug the equipment because he was having a stroke.
Right. Right. So this Saturday coming up, we've got our buddy Joe Mayo on the show. We're talking about collecting the McCartney threes, all the different versions, our experience from the online shopping to actually going to the stores and trying to find these McCartneys. So that episode's going to be all about that. Next week we've got Gabe Dixon, who we've talked about this before, that he played keyboards on the Driving Rain record. So we're really looking forward to talking to him as well. So yeah, a lot of great things planned. Next week, McCartney 2 as well on Ranking the Tracks, Volume 11. Crazy, man. We're just moving along.
Thank you, everybody, for coming in on the other night. We had to postpone it last night. So thank you for hopping on a Thursday night. And listen, sometimes it happens, but thank you for coming in. Everybody who's always here, as usual. Thank you.
Yeah, great time. So everybody, again, thank you. Anything else you want to add before we close out?
No, that's fun. We have 10 episodes of Ranking the Tracks is in the can and done, which was a lot of fun. So, no, it's been great.
24 more maybe or something like that?
Something. We'll be done sometime in maybe when it gets a little warmer.
Yeah, April, May.
Something like that. And then we'll do something else. But we will definitely continue the live
component
two legs.
Exactly, exactly. We're definitely going to keep doing live. Yep. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Appreciate it. If you're still here, if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'd really appreciate it. Click on that bell so you also get notified when new shows are happening, when we go live and when we post the shows on Saturdays. So thank